Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long. Judgment Day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Gotta change this world. And MPH Radio needs some help. It can't do it by itself. We'd like to welcome everybody to MPH Radio. Today's date is Saturday, July 18, 2020. Our theme for today is Community Outspeak and Updates. That's right. We gear this program to us along our various communities. Call in and speak out on issues that are going on, or if they have some information that is very important to our people in order so that we can move forward as a community, as well as to help move humanity forward. The purpose of this radio program is to create information, to disseminate information, and to have people a conscious to come on this platform and to help conscientize the rest of the community. So you're listening to MPH Radio, it's a bi-weekly program, and as we said today, we would like to hear what you have to say during our Speak Out segment, and as well as there are some issues we would like to raise with you today and get your feedback to it. But the order of the program today will consist of giving you something to think about, then followed by some black mini facts by MPH by Susie. Then we will have a speak out update, and that will follow by a special topic, which is Atlanta Mail and Georgia Governor comments are propaganda. So that's the order, and we will close out like always. What's going on with MPH and some announcements? That's the order of the day, and like always, we'd like to start our program with the first segment, giving you something to think about as to deal with the concept of freedom. So get your pen and paper out, and we're going to give you a couple concepts that some people have shared with us that might be applicable to your perception of life and your understanding, but we want to give you something to think about around this concept of freedom. As we often state, this is a concept that so many people talk about. Millions and millions have died for it. And if that's what we want, we got to have a better understanding of what it is, what we mean by freedom. So on that note, we need something to think about when it comes to what is freedom. The first definition of freedom by Rosa Parks, she stated, "I would like to be remembered as a person who wanted to be free so other people would be also free." That was her concept and definition of freedom. Next, we move to Will Wallace, who stated, "They may take away our lives, but they'll never take our freedom." That's really interesting. They may take away our lives, but they'll never take away our freedom. What y'all think about that? Next, we go with Coco Chanel, who stated, "The most courageous act is still to think for yourself aloud." The most courageous act is still to think for yourself aloud. Do we think for ourselves, or do we have other people think for us? Another definition of freedom is only the educated are free. Epictetus stated that. Only the educated are free. Is that really a true statement? But that's just the concept of freedom. And last but not least, we go to our brother Malcolm X. He stated, "After you get your freedom, your enemy will respect you." Oh, that's our problem. In order to get the enemy to respect us, we have to do what? Get our freedom. So those are some concepts today to give you something to think about as we begin to continue to struggle for our freedom. So again, we welcome you to MPH Radio. What we're going to do right now, we're going to take a cultural station break, and when we come back, Susie will give us some MPH Black Mini Facts. It's going to be dealing with the subject of science, technology, and innovation. We'll be right back. You're listening to Missing Pages of History.
Thank you.
on to Brother Malcolm. He stated that after you get your freedom, the enemy will respect you. Maybe they may have some concern about us once we get our freedom. We welcome you back to Missing Pages of History. We're going to continue to fill in our missing pages of history as we continue along our program today by now introducing Susie, a member and a contributor for Missing Pages of History. She will share with us today on some MPH Chosen Black Men Facts, which will deal with science, technology, and innovation. Susie, we will welcome you to Missing Pages of History. Welcome, Susie.
Good afternoon, everyone. At first, I'd like to acknowledge that our information is coming from the African American Heritage July 2017 calendar. And the first person up is Garrett A. Morgan, 1877 to 1963. Garrett Morgan used his curiosity and drive for innovation to develop several commercial products, the successes of which are still in use today. In 1923, Morgan became the first innovator to receive a patent for a three-position traffic signal, a precursor of today's traffic management systems. But his most famous invention may have been his safety hood and smoke detector, similar to a gas mask, patented in 1912. In 1916, Morgan attracted national attention when he, working with two other men, was able to save workers trapped during an explosion in a tunnel beneath Lake Erie using his invention. The Morgan gas mask was later redefined for use by U.S. soldiers during World War I, and that was the history of Garrett A. Morgan. The next individual I'd like to introduce to you is Percy Julian. Graduated from the University of Vienna in 1931 with a Ph.D. in chemistry. Though his work with plant byproducts, Julian made numerous medical products plentiful and less expensive. Julian identified ways to manufacture male and female hormones from soy, which were used to treat certain cancers and pregnancy complications. He was also involved with the creation of synthetic cortisone. Using this method, cortisone costs only pennies per ounce made naturally. It cost hundreds of dollars per drop in the 1940s. His work also proved useful outside of medicine. For example, a foam Julian developed from soy could extinguish oil and gas fires. And last minute fact for the day is on Elijah McCoy, is responsible for obtaining as many as 57 U.S. patents through his work as an inventor. His first patent, attained in 1872, was an automatic lubricator for oiling the steam engines of locomotives and boats. McCoy's lubricator, along with other similar designs, helped to revolutionize railroads in America. Using automatic lubrication, trains could run faster and more profitably with fewer stops needed for oiling and maintenance. And I've just given you 3 minute facts from the African American Heritage July 27 calendar.
Thank you, Susie, for your Black Men Facts. And what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick cultural break. And when we come back, we have a very, very special guest. We have a extraordinary organizer, Brother O.P. Bruno. He has some very important work that he is doing, and we definitely would like for him to give us an update on the nature of the work. And we will do just that in about 2 minutes. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
welcome you back to MPH Radio. We're about to drop some real love to you. This love will come from our brother O.P. Bunu, who is an extraordinary organizer, freedom fighter, educator. He wears many hats, and we want him today to come and share with us as we have our community speak out and update on a very special project that he has created and producing that's coming up soon, deal with our dear love for Cuba. So what we want to do right now, we want to turn this mic over to Brother Opie and want him to share with us what is this great work that he is doing now around Cuba as it relates to some upcoming concerts. So right now, Brother Opie is a part of our standing family. We'd like to welcome him to MPH Radio, and we're going to just let him go and do his thing and share with us, Brother Opie. What is the nature of the work that you're doing now?
What's going on with your concert?
Good afternoon.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on. And the next 2 weeks, the focus will be on Cuba, as today we're paying homage to the Madiba, Nelson Mandela, who is the third African head of state to receive the Jose Marti Award, which is Cuba's highest political honor. Before him was His Excellency, the late freedom fighter Thomas Sankara, first president of Burkina Faso, who actually gave the country that name. Formerly Upper Volta, and Burkina Faso means in English people from the ground up. So, and then the late president of Zimbabwe, freedom fighter Robert Gabriel Mugabe, was the second one to receive the Marti Award. So since this is Mandela's birthday today, and today is also my father's birthday, who passed away 6 years ago, Obi Ekpunu Jr., who is the co-founder of the Black Panther Party in London. So as everyone is focusing on Nelson Mandela, one of the highlights of his lifelong service is Cuba. So I wanted to start there. I thought that was only appropriate. But for the next 2 weekends, tonight, there's a concert being put on by a committee called the Concert for Cuba. That's going on because we're working in partnership with them. But I'll get to that later. Next weekend, you're having a global virtual tribute to Cuba. And the theme of that is Africa and the World Thanks Cuba. And we're just getting ready for that. It's a virtual concert, and people who tune into it can expect to see visually artistic representation out of Ghana, out of South Africa, out of Canada, out of the UK, out of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, out of Panama, out of Liberia, and throughout the United States. And for your listeners who don't know, the mighty people of Cuba pay homage to their revolution every July 26th because on July 26, 1953, they ignited their armed struggle. So, but we're focusing on, at this juncture in history, their work in the field of medicine. In particular, their work dealing with their efforts to eradicate the deadly and genocidal corona pandemic, COVID-19/SARS/COVID-2. So they're in 31 countries right now functioning. France felt they deserved the Nobel Peace Prize, and it started off 3 months ago with a campaign called the Get Out of Cuba's Way movement, where a written appeal was launched. A written appeal in the tradition of David Walker's appeal, in the tradition of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's appeal to the League of Nations in 1923, to Dr. W.E.B. Du Bois' appeal to the United Nations in 1947, that Eleanor Roosevelt did everything to stop, while ironically she happened to be on the board of directors of the NAACP at the time, which is one of the reasons he left the NAACP exactly 1 year later. And, of course, for those who know Brother Malcolm's history, before he wanted to take the United States before the United Nations. but the New York Police Department, FBI, and CIA had other ideas. So in that tradition, we did a written appeal. The next thing we did is on through the Mass Emphasis Positive Action and Creativity Youth Brigade, our children, a 16-year-old sister named Cia Lee Wright and a 21-year-old named Jayla Mitchell and a 20-year-old named Zion Yutzi, they put together a mini-documentary, and that mini-documentary is called Get Out of Cuba's Way, re-emphasizing what we talked about. So the next phase is this concert, and it's not only music and dance. There'll be some photography from two photographers who've traveled to Cuba and set up, and so they'll do a photo gallery. There'll be some displays of painting of artists who have done some painting in connection to Cuba. So it is artistic in every sense of the word. It is multi-genre. It is cross-generational, because we feel that it's very important to look at how Cuba's been attacked culturally. People know politically about the blockade on Cuba that the Kennedy administration imposed in 1962 that has cost Cuba nearly $200 billion to this point, $200 billion that could go towards their free healthcare system, their free educational system, and the resources that they need for medicine. In spite of that, having the most advanced gerontology program treating the elderly in the Americas, working in Venezuela to eradicate blindness throughout the Americas, Operation Project Miracle, their work in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea between 2014 and 2016 dealing with the Ebola pandemic. So these, they could be more resources available for that type of work if it wasn't for this blockade. We know about the Bay of Pigs invasion, which was a failed, cowardly CIA attempted invasion, regime change in Cuba. But the thing that people don't pay attention to as much is the cultural assault. Let me give two quick examples. In 1982, Alexis Arguello out of Nicaragua and Aaron Pryor had a fight, two boxers, for the light welterweight title. Alexis Arguello was attempting to be the first fighter in history to capture championships in four weight classes, and the anti-revolutionary contingent in Miami made the event about attacking Cuba because Alexis Arguello was born in Nicaragua. Early in his career, he was a supporter of the Sandinista revolution in Nicaragua, who were the revolutionary forces who got rid of the U.S.-backed Somoza family that ran Nicaragua with an iron fist for 70 years. And because Kennedy said what made Cuba dangerous was not just their ability to maintain their direction, but it also, they would inspire others in the hemisphere. They inspired Nicaragua. The United States dealt with that. They inspired Maurice Bishop and the New Jew movement in Grenada. The United States under Reagan invaded Grenada. They inspired Chile and Salvador Allende, and the United States invaded Chile and put Pinochet in power. They inspired Evo Morales in Bolivia, the first indigenous person to preside over a nation in the Americas. Just last year, the United States was able to force a regime change in Bolivia. They are foaming at the mouth to try to overthrow the government of Venezuela and our beautiful African brother, Nicolas Maduro, because of their commitment to the same direction that brought the Cuban Revolution about. So they used a boxing match to propagate ideas to justify the isolation of Cuba. The movie Scarface, which every generation from the 80s to now loves, they love the entertainment, they love the acting, but they forget that at the beginning of that movie is the speech from Comandante Fidel Castro about the Mario boat lift, where you had Cubans who would not adapt to the spirit of the revolution, and they missed the days when Cuba was a haven for prostitution and drug usage, and they were angry with the fact that every whorehouse and every drug strip had been turned into a school and hospital. So they had been working feverishly around the clock to overthrow that revolutionary government. So they were finally shown the door, and the movie Scarface, the original movie in the 1930s, is about Al Capone, the Chicago gangster. But the movie had changed location, and the focus was on a Cuban dissident named Tony Montana, who is leaving Cuba, escaping persecution, but ends up becoming the number one drug kingpin in Miami. So even though we got into the entertainment, even though a lot of our young people got into the blue-collar crime wave because of that movie, the original intent of that movie was to demonize and isolate Cuba. People should never forget that. So anytime we have the opportunity to culturally to celebrate Cuba's commitment to health, Cuba's commitment to education, Cuba's commitment to justice, Cuba's commitment to truth, Cuba's commitment to Africa, we should never hesitate to do it. So that's what this event is all about.
Brother Obi, how can they participate at these events? How can they get in contact with you?
People can go to our hashtag Get Out of Cuba Way movement, another hashtag Cuban Blockade Inhumane. But what we will do for you, Brother Africa, is we will come on next week with the particulars, the final, because we're finalizing the platform that we're going to use, and we will have all of the guests identified and confirmed by next week. Right now, in terms of guests that are known all over the world that we have, we can give you all the teas. You have four. You have the iconic Cuban artist, Deremir Gonzalez, that's going to perform. Nachito Herrera is going to perform. The only U.S.-born African that ever was part of Fela Kuti's groups, Sandra Isidore, she's performing. And the two-time Grammy-nominated artist, Eric Robeson, will be performing. And the legendary British reggae artist, Janet Kay, will be performing. So for now, that's what we'll just give you a little tidbit. But we promise you there'll be go-go representation. For people who know about go-go music, there'll be R&B representation, there'll be jazz representation, there'll be hip-hop representation, there'll be spoken word representation. Oh, and we just confirmed the legendary percussionist Maurice Higgins from the iconic DC go-go group Experience Unlimited EU. He'll be performing. So that's what we have for now that we can share with people to wet your beak a little bit. But by next week, we'll have all the artists confirmed. Right now, we have 30 artists that are going to perform. It's a two-day event. It'll be the first day, next Saturday, July 25th. The show will start at 7. And then on Sunday, the actual day that the world will be paying attention to Cuba, we will start at 5 o'clock, both East Coast time. And like I said, we've got artists from all over the world that are participating in this. And based on the success of this, this might be something we institutionalize and do every year.
Excellent, excellent. Well, listen, audience and supporters, also, if you want to keep an update, just email us your contact number and your email to missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com, and we will supply you with all the information as we get it. So, Brother
and,
Obi, if you'd like to...
Let me just share something real quickly, not to interrupt you, sir, about today. Because we're working in partnership with a very important effort. All week long we were promoting each other's activities, so today will be no different. What you have going on in the United States and Cuba today is you have a concert taking place. And it is called the Concert for Cuba, the Hot House Concert for Cuba. And it starts at 8 o'clock East Coast time, 5 o'clock West Coast time, 7 p.m. Central. And people can go to www.twitch.tv/hothouseglobal. And that's being organized by our good friends, Bill Martinez, Marguerite Hoiberg, and Raul Causa. And they will have speakers. They'll have Danny Glover. They'll have David Soul from Starsky and Hutch, Michael Moore, the documentarian, Mike Farrell, that was BJ Honeycutt on the show MASH. Dionne Warwick is supposed to be performing. Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers is supposed to be performing. and a list of artists out of Cuba. That will be live from Cuba, and there'll also be United States artists, as we indicated. So what we would like to do is we definitely wanted to bring attention to their event, and Nachito Herrera and Dedamir Gonzalez will be performing with us too. So they'll be working hard on back-to-back weekends. And so next week we'll have a final list of performers for your audience. And Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine is performing tonight as well. So we definitely support that event. So once again, that's at www.twitch.tv/hothouseglobal.net/hothouseglobal. I'm sorry. www.twitch.tv/hothouseglobal. And people can tune into that, and they should be able to enjoy that concert and get ready for what we're about to do next week. So thank you very much for a moment.
But before you go, Brother Obi, we'll give you 2 minutes, and we would like for you to say something about your father. You know, one of the things the Missing Pages of History wants to do is create our own history and create and write our own heroes and heroes. And your father was definitely a hero. So can you just say a few things about your father? And we'd like to wish him a happy birthday as well.
Thank you. He was he's the co-founder of the Black Panther Party in London. He is considered the voice of Black Power in London, along with another brother named Michael X out of Trinidad. He authored a book called Destroyed His Temple, which was the equivalent of what Kwame Ture and Charles Hamilton wrote in this country about Black Power, the Politics of Liberation. He was an author, a playwright, and freedom fighter of the highest order. And today is his birthday, overshadowed by, and ironically, he was humble about it. He's overshadowed in life and death. He's born July 18th. That's Nelson Mandela's birthday. Of course, he's going to be overshadowed by the Madiba. There are more Mandela movies than there are Planet of the Apes and Batman and Superman sequels. And he passed away on January 20th, 2014, which is 41 years after the assassination of Amilcar Cabral by Portuguese and CIA intelligence, the mighty agronomist and revolutionary Pan-African fighter out of Guinea-Bissau, representing the Party for the Independence of Guinea and Cape Verde. So to come on the planet the same numerical day as Mandela and to leave the planet the same numerical day as Amilcar Cabral, I guess he truly was in tune with his African fighting spirit. Thank you very much.
And we'd like to thank you, Brother Obi. Listen, audience, you have just been given an update dealing with upcoming concerts, dealing with Cuba again. For more information, you know, you can contact us as well. Email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. We have our board loading up. We can continue the segment, a community outspeak and update. We'd like to hear what you have to say to the community. Again, we have a couple articles we're back for you to respond to. We're going to do that in 2 minutes after we come back from this culture station break. You'll listen to MPH Radio.
Since we've been together. loving you weather.
On the segment of community out, speak out and updates. What we want to do, this is how we can conduct this particular segment. The first go around, we allow each one of you to make a statement, share something of interest to our community. And then after we have finished that, we'll come back to you and we want to have some discussion, particularly some discussion on this recent battle that's taking place in Georgia between Atlanta mayor and the governor of Georgia. So that's going to be the order and the process. The first 2 minutes, we'd like for you to share whatever information you'd like to share with our community. Then we'll come back and we'd like to have your take on this whole battle that's going on in Georgia between the Atlanta mayor and the governor of Georgia. And after that, we'll close out with an update on MPH and its activity. So let's get started with our community speak out and update. We'll go to caller 6057. We'll call out the last four numbers. Welcome to MPH Radio. You can now speak out to the community. Caller 6057.
Okay. I think a recent event that occurred, John Lewis made his transition yesterday at the age of 80 as a result of cancer, and he was one of the founding members of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, which worked diligently to empower Africans in the southeastern part of the U.S., especially. To help them get their right to vote and to participate in the governing of the laws and policies that affect their lives.
Okay, Colin, we thank you for speaking out today. Stay on the line. We're coming back to you to get your thoughts on this battle that's taking place in Georgia. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We can go to our next caller, 6029, and next caller, 6029. You'll speak out.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just want to express my concern in terms of the shortage of coins, you know, in the country. Interestingly enough, you know, people don't realize at this point in time that the U.S. is currently in a depression. And the mere fact that you have banks closing speaks volumes in terms of the kind of economic upturn that's been impacting this society. So it seems to me, given the fact that we're talking about depression, a question in terms of, you know, people's livelihoods or people's right to exist becomes a question of concern. So I think it's important for people to understand the nature of the beast, and that we moved to create, you know, in our communities, you know, institutions skilled to specifically dealing with the ravages of, you know, of depression. So clearly, you know, this is an issue for the African community. So I, you know, encourage people to get about the business of building those institutions, because the depression is going to be long and deep, and it isn't going anywhere soon. And I'll close with that.
All right. Thank you, caller. Will you speak up? Stay on. We'll come back. We'll be coming back to you. Next, we want to go to caller 0702. Caller 0702. You'll speak out.
Hi, hello, Mr. Robertson, and hello,
yes,
the audience that is listening
good
today. Yes, this is Mr. Joyner, and I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to have spoken on the radio before. And as the other caller did state about John Lewis, yes, we lost a giant. And because of that giant, you know, those are the same things that we are going through in his time that we are going through now. And I remember, if it's okay with you, I had put this together because I knew his health was failing. And I wrote something for Elijah, and I wrote something for John Conyers. And I said, well, what was the most important thing, Mr. Lewis, because of the protesting he did? And I thought about it, him being one of the big six, which was Dr. King, A. Philip Randolph, and Roy Wilkins, Whitney Young, James Farmer. And these were some of the first protesters went out there on that front line, and they doing the same thing today, going out there on that front line. So I remember a sermon I'd heard in church, and it was called A Matter of Life or Death. And I'm going to read that very quickly. I heard and watched the president of the United States called the Black Lives Matters protesters, terrorists, thugs, radicals, bad people, anarchists, agitators, looters, or lowlife. I wonder about whom he was talking. Donald Trump has never ever tried to put us together, but has been trying his best to divide and tear apart the country through hate and fear. America's most famous protester, Christopher Attuck, gave his life to start the nation. He was the first to pour his blood as a precious liberator on the altar of people's rights. The time is gone for the colored people to talk patriotism. The first blood shed in the American Revolution, that of Attucks, who fell in Boston, was that of a colored man. The liberty purchased by the revolutionary men was used to degrade and enslave the colored man, the liberator. And to honor Christopher Attucks was the leader and the voice that day. The first to defy and the first to die, Maverick, Carr, and Gray. Call it a riot or a revolution or a mob or a crowd as you may. Such death have been seeds of nations. Such lies shall be honored for aye. John Boyle O'Reilly. When the colonists were staggering where under the cross of woe, a Negro came to the front and bore the cross to the victory of the glorious martyrdom, George Washington. We find him choosing the better part, and of Attucks, a Negro, was the first to shed his blood on Straight Street, Boston, that white America might enjoy liberty forever through his race remained in slavery, Booker T. Washington. The first who headed, the first who commanded, the first who charged, who struck the first blow, and the first whose blood was spilled on the altar of American liberty. Martin D. Delaney. The conquering of our New England prejudice in favor of liberty does not pay, I submit, to plant our fellow citizens under practical martial law, to beat the drum in our street, to clothe our temple of justice in chains, and to creep along by the light of the morning star over the ground wet with the blood of Christopher Attucks, the noble colored man who fell in King Street before the muskets of tyranny await in the dawn of our revolution. Thomas Sam. These are good words spoken by honorable protesters who gave their lives that America would become a better nation. Under the Trump administration, there has been a loss of decency, respect, compassion, and conscience of truthfulness to the citizens it failed to represent. The president has threatened harm and retribution to innocent American citizens. The protesters' right to assemble and march is guaranteed by the Constitution because the actions and the life of a decent, honorable colored man who died in liberty and justice for all. Is this Donald Trump's main reason to be so hateful to those who exercise that right today? The peaceful protesters are in the street for the same reasons as 200 years ago. As back then, we have an unjust, lying, deceiving government of oppression and unfair laws and a malice of policing of certain citizens. Yes, the protesters look angry, fed up, and tired for the same old mess that has dogged the nation from its birth. They ask only be heard, not to be lied or to be lied about, as the present administration has. They walk heart to heart to bring about a change in America. They are not a symbol of hate, but a symbol of hope, as America deals with the untruths and lies here the sacred crown to a Jim Crow era of America the Great. America will not be great because of a lying politician saying so. The fabric of justice and history must be realized as a starting point to make all people free of the slave mentality that we all suffer. Then, when we can all sit and talk, break bread, and drink together in harmony of the love thy brother, America will become the melting pot of all people and culture. It can be more than a dream. It can become a reality once Trump is voted out of office and the whole world can hear that Black Lives Matter from a new president who believes that a country opposed to all freedom and justice for people of color finally realizes it was wrong then and still wrong today. We are in a struggle. Your vote will count this fall. Please use it. I urge you to use it wisely, not foolishly, as so many have in the past election. And because of Mr. Lewis' beliefs and all his struggles and fight, we have what we have today. And I give honor and I give thanks to him. And I appreciate you for these few moments.
Okay, Alan, still online. We'll come back with you later on. And we'll go to our next caller. Caller 4298. 4298. You will speak out. 4298.
Thank you. Greetings to everyone. This is a great day in many ways. Because there's consciousness emanating from this radio station, and it's a beautiful thing, and I definitely appreciate it. I just want to say that concert for Cuba tonight and tomorrow, it will be played on Pacifica Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. That's WPFW in Washington, D.C. And so I think you can probably get it live stream over the internet. I don't know, but I'm sure it's probably possible. But anyway, I just wanted to plug that for the concert. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. And now, and stay online, we'll come back to you as well. We'll go to caller 5146. Caller 5146, you may now speak up.
The thing that came to my attention yesterday was an all-white jury convicted a black man of rape in 1976. But now his lawyers are saying that evidence was hidden from his defense. Therefore, as we speak today, a federal appeals court is expected to rule any day on whether to overturn a 44-year-old rape conviction. And this happened, of course, in Concord, North Carolina. And the young man that was wrongfully convicted, his name is Ronnie Wallace Long. He was accused of raping a prominent, rich, white female. Long is now 64 years old, and his son was 3 years old when he went to prison. His son is now 47 years old. His lawyer is now saying that they got it wrong. that he was definitely not the party guilty of this crime. His lawyer's name is Jamie Lau, L-A-U. Lau said that Long had been a talented high school athlete, and he was facing only a trespassing charge when the cops asked the victim to come to court. She came to court, and she sat in the courthouse with this young man for an hour and a half without identifying him. But later, when she was asked to name the person that she thought raped her and assaulted her, she picked out Long. But the victim that she said she identified didn't look anything like him. The person who attacked her, she said, was a light-colored black man. Long is not light-colored. He's very, very dark. So the lawyers are now appealing for this to be overturned. It's apparent that another all-white jury convicted this young man of rape and burglary, and he was sentenced to two life sentences. But this is sad. This is truly, truly sad. After 30 years of Long's conviction, his attorneys learned that the investigators had tested more than a dozen pieces of evidence and had hidden that evidence and its results. Not only did they hide the evidence, but they took the stand while under oath and lied about the evidence. The defense did not know that there were 43 fingerprints found at the scene that didn't match Long. Not even the hair sample that they took matched Long. So now I'm hoping and praying that this young man will see his freedom before he dies. Now, this is happening as of May. The Federal Appeals Court, the North Carolina Attorney General's office, argued, though, that none of the evidence that was hidden at trial would have changed the verdict. So what they're saying is that we can lie and get away with it. The truth doesn't matter. If we target you and want you, we're going to destroy your life anyway. So I'm saying to you, audience, we need to pray for this young man today. Something is definitely wrong. The North Carolina Attorney General office declined to talk about this pending case, of course, but the United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit is expected to rule anytime soon. Meanwhile, Long's attorney is asking the governor, Roy Cooper, to commute his sentence and send the man home. On the directives, and one of the detectives in Long's case later went to prison for stealing checks. So yes, as we speak today, this young man apparently has been wrongfully convicted, wrongfully sent to prison for 40 plus years. He needs to go free. Thank you.
Carla, we'd like to definitely thank you for sharing that information with our listening audience. This is the kind of information that we need to have available to our people as we continue to fill in our missing pages of history. So what we're going to do right now, audience, we're going to take a quick cultural commercial break. When we come back, we'd like to have your response to what's going on in Georgia between the mayor of Atlanta and the governor of Georgia. We'll do that in a few minutes. You are listening to Missing Pages of History.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white teacher? Who told you you loved your black preacher? Do you
your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin. People must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday if you'll only listen to what I have to say.
And how long have you had your white teacher?
Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people
a better day is coming
for you and for me. With just a little bit more education
and love for our nation
would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you...
We'd like to welcome you back to MPH Radio. You're listening to the voice of MPH Radio, and we will continue this discussion as it relates to our speak out and updates. We have a really interesting problem that is going on in Georgia, and it's a reflection of the whole country. Matter of fact, many will argue it's a reflection of the world. But let's just focus right now in on this phenomenon in Georgia. There's the issue of a confrontation between the Atlanta mayor and the Georgia governor around the issue of whether or not should they impose a law where people be bound to wear face masks when they come outside. The mayor has passed a law in Atlanta where people in Atlanta has to wear face masks in order to help fight against the coronavirus. Well, the governor, he has decided to not to make no state law mandating that people has to wear a face mask. But more importantly, what he has done was something that I don't think has ever been done before, given the dynamics of what's going on and the high rate of people dying and getting sick, is that he has taken out a lawsuit against the governor for the stipulations of making it mandated for people in Atlanta to wear face masks to protect themselves. Now, what's really interesting in this case is other public officials in other locales have voted for a mandate to wear face masks, but he never took no kind of lawsuit out against them, only the mayor. Now, understanding everything that's going on now, was just chaos. It makes me wonder about some of the think tanks in America stated many years ago that they would create a climate where they would rule by chaos. And if this is not chaos that we are seeing right now, I don't know what is. So to my listening audience, given the dynamic and the phenomenon of what I have just explained, what's going on in Georgia between the mayor and the governor, and some of it I believe has a racist motive as well to it, what is your analysis? Can y'all give some clarity with this confusion, what y'all think may be going on? We'd like to hear your view on this phenomenon. And we'll start with caller 6029. Caller 6029, what is your take on this phenomenon of what's going on between the Atlanta mayor and the Georgia and the governor of Georgia? I read this cool question, how to deal best with this virus.
Yeah, I think it's one of those situations where, microaggression, is the key. I think to a large extent, this governor's concern is not so much in terms of prevention of spread of COVID-19. I think it's more to show this mayor of Atlanta, Georgia, who's in charge. So it's typical it's typical in terms of kind of racist microaggression that exists, throughout the country, which at this point in time, white folks are content in showing, African people, who's in charge. So the reality is that, when you think about, his concerns, he couched any concern in terms of people going to work. Now, wearing a mask and going to work are two different things. So certainly people can go to work and wear a mask. It doesn't negate the ability in terms of actually, people actually working. So clearly, his motives had more to do in terms of showing this mayor who's who in terms of power. So I think it's that simple, because the mere fact that other locales also passed an ordinance mandating wearing a mask, he chose not to go after them, but he chose to go after this particular African woman of Atlanta, Georgia. So clearly, I think it's a question of microaggression and the kind of racism that's so prevalent in this society.
Thank you, caller, and stay hold, because we have one quick response after this response, then we'll do our closing. So stay hold for a second, please. Next, let's hear caller 6057, his response to this phenomenon that is taking place in the state of Georgia. Caller 6057.
Certainly. A bit of background information. Atlanta is the capital of Georgia, for those who might not be aware. And Donald Trump had visited Atlanta recently, and he was not wearing a mask. And that drew criticism from Atlanta's mayor. This is what's, sparked this lawsuit against Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms by Georgia's governor. And what it shows is that a lot of the political leadership in the U.S. is more concerned about loyalty to their political party than they are about protecting the interests of their constituency. And I think this is motivated by that, and it shows the need for Africans in the U.S. to have to form independent political parties, independent of the two-party duopoly that exists in the U.S. now, which caters to the ruling class of this society.
Thank you, caller. Continue to hold. We have one final quick response after this one. We next will go to our caller, 0702. Caller 0702. Your response to this phenomenon that is taking place in the state of Georgia between the mayor and the governor.
Yes, I would like to agree with both of the callers before me that those are valid reasons and great points to even stress. And first of all, yes, it comes from the top, our president. It comes from the Republican Party. It comes from the business leaders. It comes from anyone who don't believe in scientific and medical data to not wear a mask in this time of a pandemic. We all need to have one. We all should carry one. It should follow us in school. It should follow us in work. It should follow us in church and everywhere for at least another year or two until we are safe. Because the Republican Party is not going to allow us to even believe that this epidemic is in such a serious state that it is. And that means lives will be lost, more than we've ever even want to care to dream about if we don't do something now. So, yes, I support the mayor's decision. And, yes, it was whites there that from the beginning of this country that says, hey, you're African American, you're black, you're colored, you can't tell me what to do. So that's part of the reason. A governor over top of mayor exerting his authority, yes, but still believing in what the president told him. So if we're going to have great leadership, not just good leadership, but if we're going to have great leadership, it has to start at the top. And if our main leader doesn't tell us, the nation, my fellow Americans, we need masks, and you should have one on at all times. And if it doesn't come from him, it doesn't mean anything to his base and a lot of business owners. So we're going to continue to see the numbers grow every day in infections and in death. And I just pray that for some reason that our numbers as African-Americans go down, because it is frightening just to look at the numbers. This is what's happening to us. And I'll leave you with that.
Okay, caller, please hang on. We got one quick response coming up. We'd like to hear from you. And let's go to our next caller. Caller dealing with the same phenomenon, 5146. What is your take on what's going on in Georgia between the mayor and the governor? 5146.
Yes, I think it's truly shameful. It's a multi-layered issue here going on. And I think that we all realize that it's not only political, from the sense that the governor is a Republican and Mayor Bottoms is a Democrat. It's also gender, male, female. Mayor Bottoms is on the short list of consideration for Vice President Biden's pick for a possible running mate. In addition to that, they see her as a threat, because as you pointed out so eloquently before, that the mayor in Savannah had already implemented a mask-wearing policy before Atlanta mayor implemented. But the mayor in Savannah is a male. He's not seen as much of a threat right now to the governor. So he's seeing that Mayor Bottoms is more of a threat to him and his goal politically. So he wants to challenge her, shut her down. Doesn't matter. The logic is gone. They're not thinking logically or scientifically or from a humanitarian perspective. They're thinking, I want to win. I want to win even if I'm wrong. I want to win. Therefore, he's going to attack her. But you know what I appreciate about her? She has not lost her focus. She still says, as she is saying now, that the mask is mandatory. And they lawyer up, we lawyer up. He's wasting taxpayers' money and time. But so be it. I'm not going to take it personally. She's going to carry out her duties as the mayor. Strength to her. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. And our last response before we make our transition for the day, we would like to ask our participants, and we're going to ask you to try to limit your response to roughly a minute, if possible. Recently in Minneapolis, the city council declares racism as a public health emergency. The Minneapolis City Council declares racism as a public health emergency. What do y'all think about that response? I thought, would you call it 6029?
Yeah, I concur. The scourge of race is not only emotionally crippling,
are from the perspective of those who are on the end, receiving the end of kind of racist bias, but also the people who actually perpetrate racism. So it speaks to a kind of sickness, a kind of illness that exists, a very irrational kind of illness that exists, and unfortunately, in the minds of so many people, has some legitimacy. The mere fact that it only has legitimacy in the context of one's mind speaks volumes in terms of just how absurd, just how antiquated this belief is. You know, that one person is superior to another based upon skin color. So I think it's a good. It's about time that someone recognized the implicit wrong in terms of racism and the impact of racism on human beings. So I think it's a very good ordinance that they passed, and I support it wholeheartedly.
Thank you, caller. Let's go to caller 0702. Your response.
Yes, again, this has been a problem in America since its founding. So there has been a mental illness against racism for a long time in this country. Black people are three times more likely to be killed by police as white people in this country. If that doesn't tell you almost everything, then there's a problem with you. Our community, where we live, are in danger. Our lives are in danger, not only from the virus, but from everything we learn, we talk, how we go to work. Everything is a danger to us because we're not still seen as complete human beings and because we have a constitution that supports that theory. So we need to change the people's mindset and bring them out of a mental fog that they have been in since this country has started and believe that, yes, every person, regardless of their color, is due their alienated rights of freedom, justice. And if we don't have that, then we never had a country to begin with. We just had papers with lies on them. And with that, I'll leave you.
Thank you, caller, for your contribution to today's program. And now I'm going to go to caller 6057. 6057.
Yes. I think it's an ordinance that's long overdue. And I think people throughout the U.S. should understand that. And I think what prompted that is the increasing resistance to the racism that's being perpetrated against African and indigenous and Latinx people, throughout not only throughout the U.S., but worldwide. And I think other political formations and localities should follow suit and address the problem, you know, seriously.
Thank you, caller, for you as well for your contribution to today's program. And we'll get our final thought from caller 5146 on this question of racism as a health issue. Caller 5146, your response?
Yes, sir. Without a doubt it is. Without a doubt. It definitely is a public health crisis because people who think a certain way, they have a myopic view. They're not able to see the whole picture. And if their views are slanted or skewed, based on skin color, something is wrong. They definitely need help. They need to be properly assessed and under some sort of treatment plan to help them think logically and correctly. We know right from wrong. They may not understand that their thinking is crippling our society. It's causing people to die unnecessarily. Yes, without a doubt, it's now become a public health crisis. Thank you.
And we'd like to thank you as well, caller, for your contribution to today's program. As we had noted earlier, and on previous program, due to the prison pandemic crisis that we are facing, all activities and programs are at a hold. They have been canceled for the present time until further notice. But we are on schedule, possibly to do our TV show, MPH TV show, in the fall, starting on August the 3rd. We'll keep you updated, but if you'd like to know more information about the goals, dreams, and objectives of MPH, we welcome you to go to our website, www.mphinc.org, as well as we'd like to remind you, remember today, the special cultural concert on Cuba, which will start at 7 o'clock tonight, that was has been reported. You can go and listen to these concerts on WPFW Radio or Pacific Radio. And if you'd like to have more updated details as we get them, you can email us at missingpagesofhistory1@yahoo.com. We'd like to thank everyone, and we mean everyone today, who have participated and made a contribution to the program, those who have listened to the program, and those who share information about the program with their friends and their network. We would like to remind you that MPH Radio comes on a bi-weekly basis. If you'd like to support this program, you can do so by showing and sending your love to Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. We welcome all support, and we would like to just remind you that if we don't fill in our missing pages, who will? So let's continue to scribe to move forward, album and backwards number, by filling in our missing pages of history. And we'll see you in the next 2 weeks. We thank you for supporting this program and the organization. Until next time, let's just remember, we are living on the front line. The struggle continues. Our love goes out to Brother Lewis, who just made his transition into his family. Our love goes out to Brother Obi Father. Our love goes out to all human beings who are striving and fighting for to make a better world, a just world for all people. You have been listening to Missing Pages of History, and we are on the front line.
is on the beer. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's an all that piece of gold. I've that story and never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your life. Come on,
get up, stand up. Stand up for your life. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
And make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unheard. And now you see the light. You stand up for your right. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
Stand up for your right.
Profit 501c3 tax exempt community development corporation. You can send your support and contribution to MPH Radio in care of Missing Pages of History, PO Box 27782. That's PO Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia 23261, in Richmond, Virginia 23261. Your love and appreciation is greatly needed. But like always, let's continue to get up and stand up and fight for our rights.
Get up, you stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Get up.
Stand up for your life.